let's stand and sing.
Opportunity that we have to gather together here to worship Thee. We thank You, Father, for the many gifts of life that You've given to us. We thank You for this gospel, for this chapel, for the freedoms that we enjoy to worship as we please. We pray, Father, for the many who are less fortunate than we are. I pray for the sick and the afflicted. I pray for the missionary activities of the church, Father, and I ask that You would bless each one according to their needs, those who stand in need. We pray for the work of the gospel, that it might go forth. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Yucatan and all of those who are isolated. I would ask, Father, that Thy Spirit would be with us this evening. Bless the speaker of the hour. Guide and direct him. Help each one of us to understand and put to use in our lives those things that are brought to us from time to time. These things I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We use number 314 for our second song. Let's stand again.
Oh,
like to ask each of you to give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Joel.
Thank you, Joel. Nice to see each of you here this evening. It's been quite a while since I've had an opportunity to speak with you, and I ask your prayers in my behalf that the message that I feel in my heart to bear to you, that I might be able to bear it in a way that you'd understand it, and that it could help you and help me, and that it could be of some profit and benefit in our lives. I want to read, starting in Mosiah, the first chapter tonight. I want to read two verses. It's on page 218. I want to read verses 119 and 120. And it says this. It says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the natural man. And I want to talk to you about it on maybe a little bit different terms than using the words "the natural man." I want to talk about something that's a part of each of us. And I'll tell you about it in a minute, but I want to read one more scripture. And it's found on page 584. And this is the fourth chapter of Helaman. Reading again some of the nature of a man. Starting here in verse 48. He says, "And thus we can behold how false, and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we see that the Lord in His great infinite goodness doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in Him. Yea, and we may see at the very time when He doth prosper His people, yea, in the increase of their fields, their flocks and their herds, and in gold and in silver, and in all manner of precious things of every kind and art, sparing their lives and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies that they should not declare wars against them, yea, and in fine doing all things for the welfare and happiness of His people. Yea, then is the time that they do harden their hearts and do forget the Lord their God, and do trample under their feet the Holy One, yea, and this because of their ease and their exceeding great prosperity. And thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten His people with many afflictions, yea, except He doth visit them with death and with terror and with famine and with all manner of pestilences, they will not remember Him. Oh, how foolish and how vain and how evil and devilish and how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the evil one, and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and do all manner of that which is iniquity. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God, and to give ear unto His counsels. Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's paths. Behold, they do not desire that the Lord their God, who hath created them, should rule and reign over them, notwithstanding His great goodness and mercy towards them. They do set at naught His counsels, and they will not that He should be their guide. Oh, how great is the nothingness of the children of men. Yea, even they are less than the dust of the earth." Sometimes I have to read this scripture to remind myself who I am, because I see a lot of truth in it. Hard as I try, hard as many of us try, seems like when things are going good, we forget. We forget the Lord. And our hearts become unsteady. I want to read in the 4th chapter of Proverbs. I have a lot of scriptures tonight, but most of them are short. And this will bring us to the subject I want to talk to you about tonight, and I felt led to talk to us about. In the 4th chapter of Proverbs, verse 23, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want to talk tonight about our heart. We've heard some beautiful sermons. I didn't have the opportunity to be here this morning. I didn't have an opportunity to be here last week, but I've heard about some of the sermons. I had the opportunity to be here 2 weeks ago and hear our brother and apostle, Moser, speak. He read a lot of Proverbs and he talked about wisdom and different things. We need to think about our heart. I want to talk to you about our heart. When the Scriptures talk about heart, the word heart is used in Scripture as the seat of life and strength. Hence, it means mind, soul, spirit, or one's entire emotional nature and understanding. Another place says, according to the Scripture, the heart is the innermost center of the natural condition of man. The heart is the center of the bodily life, the reservoir of the entire life power, and it's the center of the rational, spiritual nature of man. So a lot of times the Scriptures, I look through the Concordance in the Book of Mormon in the Bible, and to how many references are made to the heart. And most of them don't mean this thing that's beating in here. Most of them are talking about the nature of man. And so I want to talk about our heart today. Good and bad. Mixed. I'm going to read a lot out of Proverbs. But right now I want to read to you on page 154 in your Book of Mormon. That's 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter. So that we have an understanding of what we face today. The things that we're up against. On page 154... verse 19, I want to start. He says, "Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth. And in that day they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day he shall rage in the hearts of the children of men, to stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, All is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell." We're living in a day, all you have to do is look at the news, when Satan's raging in the hearts of the children of men. And there's others that are taken away into carnal security and thinking that everything's okay and everything's well, and it's not. And if we ever get ourselves in that frame of mind, we need to stop and think and shake ourselves a little bit, because we're being led. But he's out there and he's raging today in the hearts of men. So what can we do? I want to talk about the heart. There's a lot of good things I can say about the heart. There's a lot of bad things I can say. And I'm going to say them both. But when I'm done, I hope that you have a better understanding of what we're up against and what's required of us and how we can strengthen our heart. I want to read at this point in the 15th chapter of Matthew. I heard the comments, as did many others of you a few months ago, by an apostle in the church. And he told of an experience that he had on a missionary trip. And he summed it all up by saying he could see that always within his own heart everything wasn't right. And so when I come here tonight, I tell you the same, that I see times in my life when my heart's not right. And it's important that our heart is right. And we'll read part of that right now. In the 10th verse of the 15th chapter, it says, "And this is Christ, and he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And so we see that, you know, our whole attitude, our whole spiritual life depends on where our heart is. There's a scripture, and we're not going to read it, but it's in several places in the New Testament. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so the heart is an important part. It's because it's really what we are. And not everybody can see what we are. You can see me and you can see my works and I can see you, but I don't always know what's in your heart. Fortunately, God does. I want to read in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. And some of these things that we read, they're going to be hard. We'd like not to be this way, but as a natural man, we are. In the 9th verse of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So, down there, you know, I wanted to bring a chalkboard up here tonight and just put a line down the middle and say, tell me about the heart. And we could say all kinds of things. We could put on one side, a heart can be hard, and the other side can be soft. And we could say it can be evil, and it can be good, and it can be righteous and unrighteous. There's a lot of things it can be, but it's important that we know what our heart is, and that our heart is right. And we're going to read several places why. I want to read to you several places in Proverbs. And I've got five or six scriptures there. And they're all about the heart. And it's good, and it's understanding, and it's wisdom, the things he says. And why don't we start in the 13th Proverb. And again, these are just a few short verses that tell us something about what makes us up. And it's not just me, it makes up every one of us. In the 13th chapter of Proverbs, the 12th verse, it says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." I want you to know that I've known people in our congregation that are without hope for situations their life has taken them in, for things they seemingly can't overcome, for things that are part of their life now that need a healing, and they're without hope that it can be done. And if hope is deferred, your heart's going to be sick. How important it is to have a healthy heart. We can't go into this world and expect to keep up with the things that we face if our heart is sick and without hope. So I want to stress to you the importance that if we're going to have a healthy heart, we got to have hope. It says here, the hope is a tree of life. When that desire cometh, it's a tree of life. I want to read in the 14th proverb. Or the 14th chapter of Proverbs. Verses 12 to 14. He says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Here we talk about, first off, again, that natural man. There's a way that seems right to us, but the end of it's death. And here in the 14th verse, he says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. His laughter is going to be sorrowful. And so if we have a backsliding heart, if we can't remain strong and firm, or our heart isn't right, it's going to give us problems. And we're not going to be happy. I want to continue in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. And I'm going to read 9 verses here, starting in verse 1. It says, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I think that's an important part of when we speak of how to strengthen our heart. We got to commit our works unto the Lord, and then our thoughts can be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So again, we get more instruction about our heart if our heart isn't right. If you find that your heart is wandering. And I've seen times in my life where I knew that if I followed the desire of my heart, it would destroy every good thing I ever had in life. It would destroy my family. It would destroy my relationship with my brothers and sisters. It would destroy my peace. It would destroy the rights that I had to serve God. And so, as we see here, these things are important and we need to keep them in our mind. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And again, I want to tell you right here, the Lord has, He can direct your steps. It's hard to have a change of heart all in one day. But if you desire and you have a fear of the Lord, as the others have spoken of, He'll direct your steps to where your heart is the way it should be. And so again, we talk here about, in the first verse, the preparations of the hardened man. We got to make preparations if our heart's going to be changed from what it is. Again, he talked of pride here, and we're going to read in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, a little bit about how our heart can be destroyed. And it's found in the 12th verse. And he says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. We've read also, it says, pride goeth before the fall. In another place, I think it's the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. We can't be raised up in pride, or we're going to find destruction before us. And our heart isn't going to be right. It's going to be destroyed. And when I speak of pride, I know that sometimes we have differences of opinion. Sometimes in our families, husband and wife, we have differences of opinion. And I've seen many times how pretending to stand in the right, maybe even standing in the right, but being prideful about it, has caused a breach in a relationship of a brother and a sister, or a husband and a wife. He goes on to say, before honor is humility. And we have to make sure that our heart isn't proud, because the proud are the ones that fall. 20th chapter of Proverbs, 5th verse. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There's times when we have to reach deep within ourselves. We know it's right, and deep down inside we want to do it. I think of Paul many times when he says, you know, the things that I want to do, that's not what I do. And the things that I don't want to do, that's the things that I do. And there was a struggle within him. And so, sometimes there's counsel down deep inside of us, and a man of understanding is going to draw it out. He's going to seek after it. I want to read in Ecclesiastes, in the 9th chapter. Here's a condition, again, that we read before. And I want to keep throwing this condition at you. That inside our heart, there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of things, and there's bitterness and anger, even as Christ said. You know, it's the things that come out of your heart that defile a man. And he says here in the 3rd verse, again, he says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. That there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. And we see this condition about us all over the place. And you don't have to be, Glenn and I were talking a little bit today, that in his job he sees a building and 3 machines in there, and he doesn't really get a good look at what the world's like. Some of us that go to school and work in the, like a job that I work and Brian works, you can see all kinds of things that men's hearts do. Or the thoughts of their heart help them to do. And these are the things that we have to fight against. I want to talk maybe a little bit about the good side of our heart. And what we might do to strengthen our heart. There's several things that we need to do. You know, we live in a day that the Scriptures say there's going to be men's hearts failing them for fear. Because there's horrible and awful things coming on the earth, and already have been on the earth. And in many places there's men's hearts failing them, and that's why it's ever important that we have a strong heart. I do want to read one thing in the 2nd chapter of Jacob. That we might be careful when we deal with one another, when we deal with our children. And he was talking here to many of the men. They had done some things which they aren't found among us today. But they had been doing iniquity. In the 46th verse on page 172, Jacob was telling these people, and it's something that we have to remember, because there are tender hearts among us. He says, "Ye have broken the hearts of your tender wives and lost the confidence of your children because of your bad examples before them. And the sobbings of their hearts ascend up to God against you. And because of the strictness of the word of God, which cometh down against you, many hearts died, pierced with deep wounds." I think in everything we do, we got to be careful. We got to be careful in the tone of voice we use when we speak to somebody. We got to be careful with other people's feelings, with our wives and with our children, with our works. Because our works show really where our heart is, the true desires of our heart. And so we need to be careful that we don't injure and that we don't hurt those that are tender. Because we don't want them to die. We don't want their hearts to die pierced with deep wounds. And I have seen right here in this local times when some of the hearts of our children have been hurt. Not just our children, I'm sure there's others. And it is a concern, and it's something as brothers and sisters we have to be aware of. I want to read again about the good things we can do, the things that are expected of us. We're going to read, first off, in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. We're going to read the words of Christ, what He says, because it's important. We find this also in the Bible, page 636. In the 55th verse, He says, "And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we'll talk a little bit more about the pure in heart. But this is something that we have an opportunity to be. It takes some work. Skipping down to the 66th verse, He says, "And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Again, there's a need for us to put down the pride of our hearts. And if we're going to come to Christ, that our heart could be right, we got to have a broken heart. We got to put our will and our ways aside and let Christ and His will reside within our heart. And it isn't always the easiest thing to do. And why is it so important that our heart is right? Because we can't accomplish the work of God with anything but a clean heart. We can't accomplish the work of God. We can't spread the word to others. We can't really enjoy life as brothers and sisters and enjoy each other if our heart is full of evil, and if our thoughts are always full of hatred. Yeah. And it says, you know, He tells us the devil is one that stirs up anger in your hearts for one another. And so everything good in life comes from the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so it's important that our heart is right. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, I want to touch again about a condition that is important in spreading the gospel. And in here, He's talking about a husband-wife relationship. But it goes beyond that. In the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, He says in the 1st verse, He says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives." So He's saying, you know, if your husbands stray and they're without the word, they might be won by your actions. while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it be that outward, let it be not, let it, hang on a second, way back up. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trust in God, adorned themselves, being in subjections unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And then he goes on, he tells other things, but I want to talk about this hidden man of the heart. There isn't anything more beautiful to me than what I find inside of a person that's good. You know, we went and talked to Lola today. And I learned about the hidden man of the heart. She didn't have any fancy dress on, but when we walked up to the door, we never made it in. We heard her say, "Here they are." And she was waiting, and she said she'd been up early in excitement that somebody was coming today to share the gospel with her. And I saw in her heart a desire to serve God, a desire to be right, an excitement to serve God. And so, you know, you and I in our lives, people respect us when they see really what's in our heart, the good. I don't know how many people I know at work that, yeah, they see my little mistakes. They even see my big mistakes sometimes. But they know me. They know me, and even though I'm not always right, they respect me. And so it's important that inside there, even though it might not be hidden, it's not broadcasted about you, and you're not wearing it outside so everybody can see what you're like. And you don't have a robe that says I'm good and I'm loving and I'm this and I'm that. But they know it by what you are and the things you do and the excitement you have about the gospel. And so it's important that not only wives. Here he's speaking more specifically than what I'm wanting to speak. I'm wanting to speak to all of us about the hidden man within us, the hidden man of our heart. Let it be right before God. And that to God is of great price. And you'll be blessed for that. Again, I want to go to 2 Timothy. And I just have a few more scriptures. In the second chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 19 to 22. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And so there he kind of labels what it takes for us to have a pure heart, that we need to follow after righteousness and faith and charity. And, you know, I'm not going to read it, but you can read in the seventh chapter of Moroni when he expounds charity. And he mentions how important it is to us that it's found in our heart. And it'll be well with us if it's found there in the last day. And so here he labels to us a way to have a pure heart. I want to go to the second chapter of Helaman. In the second chapter of Helaman, there is a condition defined here that we'll see. It's on page 552. A condition that can be found in the church today. And it tells what the people did. And this right here is the way that you and I believe firmly it's probably one of the only ways, one of the few ways that we're going to find a heart that's right before God. It says in the 29th verse, "And in the 51st year of the reign of Judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church. Not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. Now this was a great evil, which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions, and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God." I believe it's going to take for us to separate our hearts from the desires of this world. Our hearts are two-faced. They can be either or. They can be good and they can be bad. And they can be a little bit of mixed. But that's impure. So if we're going to have a pure heart, we need to take time to fast and to pray and to yield our hearts to God. Part of that prayer that we've heard so many times and I love so much, in the 51st Psalm, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." And I'm reading the first verse. "According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So many times, I think that when I look at my life, I need to stop for a second and just drop back. Look at my life and look at the desires of my heart, and if they're wrong, I need to ask Him to create within me a clean heart. And sometimes I need to do it with fasting that I could make my heart right so that I could be a better servant. So that I could know when I serve Him that He's going to be there, and know when I call Him that He's going to be there, and my faith can grow. And so I think that the things that we're reading are important. There was a few people that got together. Earlier this week. To fast and to pray for some people that they love. People without hope. People that don't know how to overcome some of the problems in their life, or to figure out how to get back to doing right in their lives. How to find a way to solve the problems of life that have jeopardized their family. And we prayed that they'd have a heart. That the Lord would touch their heart. I also heard a testimony, and it's not mine to give, and so I won't give it, but I'll only mention it. That God can work miracles in lives. And I heard a miracle this week. It happened in the life of one of God's children. And He changed their heart. No, I know He can do it. And where I've got hardness and where I might have lustful desires, I hope that He'll give me the strength that I can change and that I'll persevere until I can accomplish that. My brother, Bob Hedrick, I can mention him because he's not here tonight. He wrote a little poem in the Teen Challenge 91 little, I don't know if you want to call it yearbook. It's a book full of memories of different things that people wrote that the kids could remember, this youth camp that we had in Missouri. And our brother Bob wrote something, and I want to read it to you because it means a lot. And he wrote it, I'm sure, thinking of the young people, but it's something that applies to all of us. And even though it doesn't maybe say everything that I've said tonight, it lets us see a direction in life that we can turn to and a path to follow. He says, there are many paths you may follow in life. Keep your feet in the path of righteousness. Walk softly, walk quietly, and the path will be more peaceful. Deal honestly with everyone you meet, and the path will be more satisfying. Put the feelings of others above your own feelings, and the path will be smoother. Put the desires of others above your own desires, and the path will be less rocky. Walk with a smile on your face, and Christ in your heart, and you will never walk alone. Stand up for what is right, but without hostility. Stand up without fear, for if right, Christ is beside you. When two paths cross, put your trust in the Lord to give you direction in the way you should go. Pray without ceasing about everything. Pray, pray, pray. I didn't know that was in there until I got it and I read it. And it meant a lot to me because it gave me a direction of life. Oh, the same direction the Scriptures gave me and do give me. But it kind of puts it in just a few words. Something for us to think about. I know that it's always hard to have a heart that's right. And I hope I've got the message across to you tonight. Because it's so important that our heart is right. Yeah, especially if we desire to do the work of God and we desire to love one another. One thing I did want to mention before I close that he had in here. He says, put the feelings of others above your own feelings. And I think sometimes how many things in our lives could be easier if we'd only think of our brother or our sister or our husband or wife or our children, if we'd think of them first and the things that we want. But really give them, be selfless toward them and give them the benefit of the doubt. We could change a lot of things that sometimes we're faced with hardship of our heart, or our hearts are hardened, or we feel sad, or we're hurt, or we hurt somebody because we've forgotten to do the things that Christ commanded us and to put others first above ourselves. And I think that's part of the charity that he says we need to have. We're selfless. And we think of others first. Even as Christ, I think Glenn read today, when we had a little sacrament service with Lola, he read about how Christ, you know, not thinking of himself, not trying to glorify himself, he died. He died to glorify God and to save us. Not that he would be glorified and lifted up, but that God would be and we might be lifted up to dwell with him. And so all I can say is think about your heart. Check your heart out. In the desires of your life, when you go to work and you're faced with temptation and you want to fold, think about your heart. Make sure it's right. And strive and prepare and pray that your heart could be found right in that day when Christ shall judge the hearts of men. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joel. A final thought that we might keep with us throughout this week. When a person needs love the most is usually when they deserve it the least. Let's close with number 157. Let's stand and sing again. Bow your heads with me. Our dear Father, we again come to Thee thanking You for this opportunity that we have, thanking You for the message that has been brought to us, Father. We pray that we might remember those things brought to us this day, that we might put them in our hearts and cherish those things, that we might have Thy Spirit to be with us, to guide us and direct us in the things that we do and that we say, till we meet again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.